Hello everyone, my name's Cameron, if I haven't met you before. I'm sorry I can't be with you this morning. As you already know, I have COVID-19. It's been a pretty hectic week. It certainly hasn't gone the way I expected it to and the way I wanted it to. But yeah, I am doing okay physically. I didn't have to dose up on coffee and Panadol to be able to drag myself out of bed to do this talk. And I'm very excited to see you all in person next week. But before we get into it, why don't we pray? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the letter of 2 Timothy that we get to study together. We pray that you might be transforming our hearts to be more like Jesus as we learn more about you through your word. Amen. Amen. A friend of mine named James went to a football game in Lismore with his little sister. The game was an NRL game called City vs Country, where New South Wales City would play New South Wales Country. This would be played once a year, usually, and this was back when City vs Country was competitive. Anyone who wanted to play State of Origin for New South Wales would be playing. I'm sure most of this information has just gone straight over your heads, but the point is that there's a big game of football in Lismore and everyone's going to watch. And when the game was over, the crowd like went running onto the field like you see in the movies, and James' little sister was gifted with a football that had been signed by a heap of players. Now, James' little sister was in year 7, but she was stoked. Like, this is pretty cool, even if you don't even care about football. But in the chaos of leaving Oaks Oval that night, waving around her new prize and treasure, and I'm sure passing it around with some friends, the ball was taken from her, stolen from her fingertips by an older boy. She wasn't ready, she wasn't guarding it, and she never saw the ball again. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is encouraging Timothy to guard what's most important to him, the gospel, to hold it close so that it can't be taken away, damaged, or lost. Because if we aren't careful, if we don't hold the gospel close, if we don't guard it, then it might be taken away. And as we look at today's passage, we will see Paul is calling Timothy and us to live for the gospel, to guard it. We will cover today's passage firstly by looking at Timothy, who he is, and why Paul is writing this letter to him. And then we'll be talking about the gospel of salvation. And then finally, the call to suffer before we close. So Timothy, gospel of salvation, suffering, and then close. So let's read from verse 1, so please read along with me. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul always makes his intentions very clear in the letters that he writes, and this letter is no different. He proclaims Christ who gives life. And he addresses this letter to Timothy, my dear son. At first glance, we just overlook this comment, but this reveals his relationship with Timothy. Timothy was like a son to Paul. He has been with Timothy throughout his journey in faith, and he's seen him grow in his love for Jesus as they work together, proclaiming the good news to everyone. They are dear friends and co-workers for Christ. But Paul, as seen later in the passage in verse 8, he's in prison. Paul is in prison, and he's pretty certain that he's going to be martyred, killed because of his faith in Christ. But he isn't just writing this letter to Timothy to say goodbye or to hurry up and come and visit me. No, he's writing this letter to encourage him to continue in the faith. He's instructing Timothy to continue living for the gospel, to burn for it, to guard it, to keep running the race. We can see this in verse 6 and 7. Please read along with me again. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Paul is encouraging Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. We don't know what the spirit, what this spiritual gift that Timothy has been given, but it doesn't matter. Because Paul likens this gift to fire. He's saying to stir up the coals ablaze. He is encouraging Timothy to burn for Jesus, not die down. This image reminds me of early mornings at our annual youth camp called Safari. When I was a camper, I used to wake up early in the morning and try to rekindle the fire to feel some warmth on a very frosty morning in Old Benalbo. And we all know this exact feeling of stirring up the hot coals to create a flame, rekindle the fire. Paul wants Timothy to rekindle his gift, and he tells us why in verse 7. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Did you notice that when Paul describes Timothy's gift, he says the gift of God that is in you. But when he describes the Spirit, he says the Holy Spirit that God gave us. Timothy may have a gift from God to help him be an effective minister, but we all have been given the Spirit of God if our faith is in Jesus, which is everything that we need to live for the gospel. How good is it that God gives his people everything that they need to live for him? God equips his servants to live for him. And that is what Paul is reminding Timothy of here. Rekindle your gift. Live by the Spirit, which doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, giving us confidence in our ministry, in telling others of the good news. Live by the Spirit, which isn't timid, but gives us love, so that we can love and serve others. Live by the Spirit, which isn't timid, but which gives us self-discipline or self-control. Paul is reminding Timothy that God has given him everything that he needs to serve him well, to serve him effectively. And this can sound really confronting though, can't it? Not being timid. And it's a bit funny that Paul even says this. But I think it's because Timothy was a bit timid. Maybe because of his age. We know from Paul's first letter to Timothy that he's young, especially young for a church leader. Maybe he was an introvert. Maybe he was a sensitive creature preferring to remain in the background, hidden, unnoticed. But we don't really know why he says this, but Paul is emphasizing that the gospel is not timid. Let me give you an example of this. Some girls from Southern Cross Presby Church who are most likely introvert, I don't want to insult them by saying that they are timid, but let me just say if they wanted to be timid, they certainly could be. One day they decided to go down to the shops in Lismore before they went underwater. And they were handing out cards to invite people, strangers walking by, to come to our gatherings at Southern Cross Presbyterian Church. Complete strangers. Isn't that incredible? Remarkable? That is not timid. Because the Spirit is not timid, but it gives us power and love and self-discipline. But Paul is encouraging Timothy to live for the gospel, which the Spirit empowers us to do. But what is this gospel? Everyone thinks of the four books we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But gospel means good news, but not just any good news. The best news ever. The good news about Jesus. And this is exactly what Paul reminds Timothy of in verse 9 to 10. Please read along with me from verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the gospel truth. And it seems strange that Paul is reminding Timothy of the gospel, but this is a beautiful gift that God has entrusted to us. And Paul has been proclaiming this message ever since he first believed in Jesus. This is the gospel that Timothy is being encouraged to live for, to guard and protect, because he has saved us and called us to live a holy life, or to live for him, not because of anything we have done, but because of his grace shown through Jesus. Not because of anything we have done, but because of Jesus who destroyed death. Not because of anything we have done, but because of Jesus who brought us life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of Jesus who has given us immortality. We have done nothing for God to deserve this. Let me say it again. We have done nothing for God to deserve this love, this grace. Yet that's what grace is. God has saved us That is the good news. That is the gospel. Paul reminds Timothy of this because as followers of Christ, this is what we must cling to. You can't be a follower of Christ and not believe and hold this gospel truth. Let me give you an example of this. What would you say to me if I told you I was a vegetarian, but actually I still eat meat whenever I want to? Well, you'd say you're not a vegetarian. What about I'm a professional soccer player, but I just play 6th division for Lismore Workers Club? Well, you'd say you're not a professional soccer player. What about I'm a dairy farmer, I just don't wake up at 4 a.m. I'd say, well, you're probably not a real dairy farmer, and if you are, you're probably not a very good one. I'm a Christian, but I don't hold the gospel very highly, and I don't live as if it's true. Well, are you really a follower of Christ? The gospel is what we cling to. We live for it. It is the beautiful gift which God has entrusted to us. But yet this truth, it can lead to much hardship, to suffering. Let me ask you another question. Is this truth worth suffering for? Well, we say yes, of course. Even if that means persecution, even if that means rejection, even if that means getting put in prison, even if that means dying, it sounds like a lot. But Paul, he certainly believes this is true because the gospel is the greatest treasure. It is the best news anyone could ever hear. We used to sing a song back in primary school in scripture. It went like this: God is better than the footy. He's better than chocolate ice cream. To a kid, this is crazy, especially me being a chubby kid who played football. Surely God isn't better than chocolate ice cream and footy. Well, the gospel is better than that. It's so much better. It's better than your house. It's better than your car. It's better than your job. It's the best present ever. Think of the best present you've ever got. I got a barbecue for Christmas. That's pretty good. The gospel's better. So much better than anything we can think of. It's the greatest news that we are saved by Jesus because of the grace of God. There is no greater gift. Paul knows that the gospel truth is the greatest treasure, and he knows that it's worth guarding to the very end, even if that means suffering. So let's read verse 8 of chapter 1. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And again in verse 11 to 12. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul is suffering for the gospel. Let me say this more clearly. It is because Paul has faith in Christ that he tells other people about this faith, this good news, that he is in a hole in the ground with chains around his wrist, and it's the reason that he is going to be killed. Yet this is no cause for shame, he says, for I know whom I've believed. What an amazing thing to say. What an amazing response to his situation. How many of us here today could say this same thing if we were in his position, considering we struggle to tell people we work with we believe in Jesus because we fear they might laugh at us? Paul knows it's worth it. Because as we've just said, the gospel is the greatest news ever. And God has given us everything we need to live for him. He's given us his spirit. He's destroyed death. He's brought us life and immortality. Paul is holding the gospel close to his heart so that no one can take it. He is living for it, even if that means suffering. Yet, isn't it strange how the gospel and suffering seem to be like linked? Jesus tells us on many occasions, if we follow him, we will suffer. And that's because you can't be a faithful proclaimer and follower of Jesus and not have people oppose you. Because as we've already discussed, the gospel has nothing to do with what we can do, but it's about everything that God has done. And this opposes human pride because we don't like to admit, firstly, that we've done anything wrong, and secondly, that we need a savior. But Paul is living for the gospel, even if that sends him to the grave. And he is encouraging Timothy and us to do the same. It's funny reading the book of 2 Timothy, knowing that this is the last letter that Paul writes before he dies. Well, at least the last one we know about anyways. Because as we've said, Paul knows he is going to die. He's most likely going to die. And so it's interesting to see where his priorities lie in this moment. And as we see throughout this passage, and also throughout the whole book of 2 Timothy, Paul, he's encouraging Timothy to continue in the faith, thrive in the gospel, live in it, guard it, continue, run the race. Verse 14 of chapter 1 says this, "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Paul urges Timothy to guard this beautiful treasure. Protect it like you protect a palace against marauders or a treasure against thieves. We must protect the gospel because it is God's gift. The good deposit entrusted to us. We guard it against anyone who says anything false about it because it is the truth. It is the truth, so we don't pick and choose the things that we like. We cling to all of it. We don't hold something back because it might offend someone. The gospel is the truth. We must guard it. Because when Paul wrote this letter, that's exactly what was happening. People were speaking falsely about the gospel. Heretics were roaming the land and tearing it apart, destroying Christians. And people were not clinging to it. As we see in verse 15, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted Paul. We must cling to this gospel or it will be taken from us. Now, let me give you an example of what this looks like. Now, I'm looking for two good-looking volunteers out in the crowd there. Yeah, I'll pick you. Right, here are my trusty volunteers. I'm just going to turn the camera around for you all. Now, here are my two volunteers. If you heard any sneezing or noise earlier, it was definitely these two. Bit of hustle. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is, Luca, I want you to hold the football in one hand. Now, Xander, I want you to take it off him. Easy, look at that. All right, give him back the ball. Now, Luca, two hands. Xander, get it off him. Bit harder, but he got there. All right, Luca, I want you to hold it close. Tuck it in tight. Now, Xander, get the football off him. No. See that? He's got no chance. He couldn't get it. Thank you to my two volunteers. If we hold the gospel truth close, it will not be taken away, especially considering the Spirit which God has given us, the Spirit who lives in us and helps us guard this deposit. But if we don't hold the gospel close, if we hold it at arm's length, then it will be taken from us. Now, I'm not saying that this is something that just happens overnight. We don't just wake up one morning and bam. Maybe you would argue that you have seen this before, but I would argue that falling away from Christ is more of a drift from living for God to living for ourselves through many small decisions. In the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis writes, it's from the perspective of a older devil, and he's writing to an apprentice younger devil, and they're trying to get people to hell pretty much. And this is what he writes. The safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Falling away is a drift without warnings. However, we can look out for signposts, for warnings. And I think we see this mainly in the small decisions we make that aren't living the way that God wants us to. Paul reminds us in this letter that God has saved us and he's called us to live a holy life. He wants us to live for him. So let's strive to do that, even if that means suffering. Living for Jesus can be tough though. And it's a bit like running a race. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. There is a start and finish line, and not everyone finishes. James' little sister didn't finish the race. That is, the race of trying to get her football home before it was taken from her. Someone took it. She didn't hold it close. She didn't cling to it. As we've seen, people from the province of Asia didn't finish the race. That's why Paul is urging Timothy and us to finish the race. To finish this race, we must cling, we must guard the gospel. It is the truth. And it's funny because Paul, he doesn't just want us to cling to it, but he wants us to share it, to tell others about it, because it is the greatest treasure. How could we keep it to ourselves? And he wants us to live in it. Live in the gospel. Come to God's word because it is powerful and it empowers us. This passage really feels like it's foreshadowing what he's going to say later in the book in chapter 3, verse 16. This is what it says. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is powerful. The gospel is powerful and it will work in us. God equips us, his servants, to run the race and live for the gospel. And praise God for the Spirit who he gives us if we have faith in Jesus, because he empowers us also and he helps protect the gospel deposit inside us. That's what he says in verse 14. God has given us everything that we need to live for him, to serve him how he wants us to. God has given us everything that we need to run the race, to continue in the faith, even in great sufferings. So I want you to do something for me this week. Actually, not for me, for yourselves. Consider, are you clinging to the truth of the gospel? Are you running the race? Are you seeking to guard the gospel truth inside you? But do not fear, because as I've said over and over and over, and I'm going to continue to say it, Paul shows us so clearly, God has given us everything that we need to live in the gospel and guard this beautiful truth. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel which you have achieved for us. Thank you for your grace that you would save us. Thank you for your love which overcame our failings. Lord, may you by your Spirit protect the beautiful truth that is the gospel in our hearts. And may you help us live for this gospel as we live for you in this world, a world which only wants to separate us from your love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.